Welcome to Guided Legacy. I'm Dion Duckett, and today we are exploring a side of legacy that often gets overlooked. We talk a lot about protecting assets, planning for loved ones, and preparing for the future. But before any of that happens, there is a story we tell ourselves about who we are, what we deserve, and what we believe is possible. That inner narrative shapes our choices, our relationships, and the kind of legacy we leave behind. Joining me today is Carlos Martin, co-founder of Continuum Leaders and host of Leadership Evolving. Carlos is passionate about the deeper conversations so many people avoid, the ones around identity, imposter syndrome, personal narrative, and the power of seeing ourselves with more honesty and compassion. Carlos, I'm so glad you're here.
All right, you started off with the big one. It's that question. I love that question, and it's just super loaded, right? And because we carry so many things, and it depends on the individual, right? We all have different things that we carry, you know. But we always hear the imposter syndrome. We hear that when I say that personal narrative, is that story we tell ourselves, we tell others about ourselves, or the story that we tell ourselves about ourselves. And that could encompass fear, that could encompass doubt, that could encompass I am not meant to be at the table, at the C-suite, to make X amount of money. You name it, there's so many things that we've been telling ourselves, either consciously or subconsciously, that really dictates the outcome. And so for me, I'm very passionate about really learning about what that personal narrative is for that individual. And a lot of times it may be working for them, but many times it could be, there's room for improvement in regards to tweaking or modifying.
Okay. And so how do those hidden stories affect the way I make decisions in my life, my relationships, and my future?
Well, they're all interconnected. Right. So depending on my doubt or how much I believe in myself, my personal narrative, my identity, my philosophy, everything's going to affect my decisions. Everything. So whether I believe myself to be, let's say, for example, if I'm applying for a job, if subconsciously I'm not necessarily believing that I could have that job, then I might be, you know, I might get in my own way, if you will. And it could be in relationships, it could be in leadership. There's so many things that are going to affect how I interact with others, is because it's how am I interacting with me? That is how it began. Right? Now we're talking about emotional intelligence. Now we're talking about inwardness, if that's even a word, but that's gonna dictate how we interact with others. In every sense.
Do you think all people suffer from these things like imposter syndrome and, you know, or lack of emotional intelligence?
Well, I'll speak to the imposter syndrome part of the question. Is, for example, as an executive coach, I have clients that are out of college in their 20s, and I have clients all the way in the C-suite. There might be, you know, 40, 50, 60s, and 70s. And I could tell you with certainty that we all have imposter syndrome. Now, they may look different at different chapters of our lives, but we all have it. Again, it looks different at 20, at 50, at 60, at 70, depending on where you are in your career path. But we all have it. We all have those little voices inside our head. What are you doing? Now you're a CEO, like people are gonna see right through you. Or if I'm in college, like, what am I gonna do? How am I gonna, you know, graduate? Again, the imposter syndrome is really those voices that are there to protect us, but at the same time, they get in our way, you know, hence the imposter of wanting to protect us, but at the same time, they're really hindering us. So to answer your question, I think imposter syndrome is in every part of our lives, on everybody. Now, the emotional intelligence, that has different levels. Usually when we're younger, we might not be as emotionally intelligent. As we get older, we have a little bit of inner wisdom, if you will. But let me tell you, I met people in my age or, you know, or way older that have definitely a very low emotional intelligence. So I don't know what the correlation is there, but that's all over the place.
Okay. Okay. So what happens when the story that I've been telling myself is rooted more in fear than in truth?
Okay. You're going right for the jugular. I love it. I look, fear is, again, we all have that fear of something. So let me take it back a little bit. So when we fear something, it's almost like this big blob, this big thing. We don't even know what it is. So as a coach, I try to say, okay, how do we label it, if you will? How do we, so for example, we're pretty, this is going to sound horrible, but we're pretty illiterate as a society when it comes to really knowing emotions. They're mostly stemmed out of four emotions, which is anger, sadness, happiness, and fear, I believe. Yeah, those are the four. So out of those four large emotions, there's guilt, right? There's all kinds of things that stem out of that. So my thing is that fear is so big because we've created to be so big. So one of the ways that I work with my clients, okay, let's label it. What is it? What could it be? Maybe it could be regret. Like labeled, right? It has an umbrella as a fear, but what is it? Regret about what? Oh, I regret that I went up into a meeting and I spoke up and people made fun of me. I'm just kind of coming up with something. So it might be that umbrella as fear. So our thing is, okay, yes, it's fear, but how do we begin to identify it to really get to the root of the problem? Otherwise, it's this big blob. It's almost like this huge boulder on the road that you can't get past. But once you really start to dissect it and to really try to identify it, that big boulder gets smaller and smaller. It almost to you know, pebble size. But again, we don't take the time to really look in to be able to say, what is it? What is it? What is that fear? To lead with curiosity.
Okay. Lead with curiosity.
Yeah. All right.
So how can I begin to recognize whether the voice in my head is helping me grow or keeping me small?
Oh, okay. You got all the big questions here. I think it's both and. I think they could hold you, because the imposter syndrome, it's meant to protect you. You know, back in the days, you know, the reptilian brain is, okay, you don't want to go over here because you're going to be attacked by a tiger or a lion, right? So those that imposter syndrome is there to protect you, but we're not in that world anymore. So most of the time, it hinders you. But I think the big thing is we don't take enough time to really look within to say, what is it that's slowing me down, that really the imposter syndrome? So again, is having the awareness, what I like to call the hyper awareness. How do you do that? By, you know, again, leading with curiosity, asking more questions, having a coach, having a therapist, having an emotional ally, you know, what is your personal board of advisors? All these things that come to life to really look inward, to really question every single thought that comes in. That's why I said, let's throw curiosity at the fear, at the sadness, at all these, and see what comes up. So a lot of the times, instead of looking outward, let's start to begin and look inward.
Okay. And so what shifts when I start looking at myself with more honesty, grace, and self-awareness?
Well, ideally is everything. Everything begins, because now you're questioning every single thing. And let me tell you, I always preface this to my clients, like, look, we're going to go into this journey and it's going to be exhausting. Mm. Why? Because we're questioning everything. And after some point, it's like, oh my God, I don't even know what's real. It's like almost like an internal AI. Like, I don't even know what's real anymore because I'm questioning everything. And yeah, so it gets a little tricky at the beginning. it gets a bit murky, but then you start to gain clarity. Why? Because you're questioning everything. But by questioning everything that you're doing, how you're being, how you're speaking to people, how you're interacting, the words you're using, everything. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you start to process, you start to do an internal process, right? And it's not about me, the coach, or what, like, well, this is what you need to do. Like, no, what is it that you want to do, right? So my job as a coach is not to tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. My job is to kind of peel the onions and challenge you for you to come up with your own answers as you, as an individual. But again, it's to go inward and again, change your personal narrative. And like you said, shifting, hopefully, and not necessarily, you know, you have to shift everything, but now you look at it and say, okay, does this need changing? Yay or nay? Well, maybe it needs tweaking, maybe it needs modifying, maybe it needs to be eliminated, whatever that might be for you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. When the story I tell myself is rooted in limitation, everything around me starts to feel smaller. But when I begin to challenge that story, I create room for healing, clarity, and change. Up next, we're going deeper into one of the most common struggles people carry in silence, the fear of not being enough. Guided Legacy. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. So welcome back to Guided Legacy. I'm here with Carlos Martin, and we're having an honest conversation about the internal battles so many people face, even when the outside world sees them as capable, accomplished, and strong. One of the most painful of those battles is the feeling that somehow, no matter what I do, I'm still not enough. So I shift the conversation into imposter syndrome and self-worth, connecting internal doubt to the choices I avoid, the opportunities I second-guess, and the emotional weight I may carry in silence. I want this segment to feel personal, validating, and deeply relatable to viewers. So, Carlos, why do so many people who are clearly capable still walk around feeling like they are not enough?
You know, I think that's the beauty of life. You know, it's the journey that we go through, you know, not enough. Well, we are evolving creatures, right? We're not the same, you know, you look like you're 27, I'm 25, you know, ish, right? You know, we have different ages, it's different chapters, and we go through life. So we're always gonna have that we're not enough, because sometimes we might not be enough for what we're looking at. Now, we might be enough for the chapter that we're in if we really truly believe that we're enough at any stage, but now we have standards for ourselves. Okay, now I wanna create this show, I wanna create this podcast, I wanna be a content creator, I wanna be in the C-suite. So now we are here and now we wanna be here. Well, there's a gap here, mm-hmm. right? So that is imposter syndrome. There is, I'm not good enough. Well, because we might not be good enough, and that's okay, right? It's not on a personal, that's the difference. Sometimes we don't feel enough on a personal level, that's different. But in regards to a career or a goal, we may not be enough. And that's how we start to work. But the work is, what am I not good enough? Public speaking, content creating, whatever. And then we start to practice and we get better. And little by little, we start to close that gap. Okay, and now we got it. And guess what? Once we're there, we want something more. And now we create another goal. And now there's the other gap, right? So somehow we want to be perfect at everything that we do as soon as we started. I remember when I was doing my coaching practice, I was at school, and then finally after I graduated, we kind of go around the cohort, and somebody asked me, I can't remember, said, Carlos, how do you want to be remembered? And I didn't really think about it. It just came out, and I said, I want to be remembered as that guy that's not afraid to look foolish. And what did I mean by that? You're going to look foolish on anything you do for the first time, right? Again, whether it's a show, a podcast, you know, speaking in public, you know, managing people, or you manage numbers and you lead people, whatever it is, you may look a little foolish at the beginning, and that's okay. But that is trying and trying your best, and your best will get better and better and better.
Okay. And so how does imposter syndrome show up differently in leadership than it does in private life?
Well, my practice, my methodology, when I coach individuals, I coach people in their totality. So I don't separate work from personal. I try that at the beginning of my early career in coaching. And what happens is that they really go hand in hand. We might think that we're going to separate them, but in the reality, they're so intertwined. So a lot of the times, if there is an issue at work, I look and I dig in on the personal and see, because there might be something there, and vice versa. So for me, I try not to separate. Does it look different? Yes, but it might stem the work to the personal or vice versa. So for me, again, I always look at my clients in their totality and see if one affects the other.
Okay. And so in doing that, what do I tend to misunderstand when I try to push past self-doubt without addressing what is underneath it?
Well, I think there's always going to be an undercurrent there if we don't address it. One of my favorite, it's a quote, it's actually like an African proverb that says, if you want to go far, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. When you go by yourself, you go fast, but it's not sustainable, right? And when you go together, you have the ability, again, to have a coach, to have a mentor, to have a person on board of advisors. So you start to dig in a lot more. And that creates inner wisdom. That's like to say, okay, where am I? Where do I want to be? Right? So all those things is, again, to look inward instead of always go, 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 go. And again, it's easy to do that, to go, go, go. But then again, it's going to catch up. There's going to be an undercurrent that's going to pull you down. It's going to weigh you back in, right? So it's your plan is you're going to be in some sort of rat race. Instead of, I'm not saying to be looking inward all the time, right? That's going to be very difficult and hard. But how do we go and then stop? You know, it's kind of like for me, I love to hike. When I'm in the mountains, I'm hiking, I'm going up the mountain, and yeah, sometimes I'm huffing and puffing and I'm like, oh, what am I doing this again? Why am I doing this? You know, but there's times that it's like I stop because I'm complaining, and then I stop, and then all of a sudden it's like I see this beautiful view, this clear lake, and then right, just start to see things, but we don't really stop to see. Oh. And then we kind of reassess and how we are. And those type of things, instead of going and going and going.
All right. I like that analogy. And so how can I start separating my identity from performance, achievement, or other people's approval?
Again, a lot of layers to that sandwich, as I like to put it, especially in corporate or in so many things, we put our success depending on how much money we make, what kind of car we drive, how big the house is, how nice the neighborhood is, what title I have. And we start to identify as that individual. I left corporate many years ago, and I remember I was an RVP. I was in sales. And, you know, once I left corporate for the first couple of months, I'm like, oh my God, this is great. This is amazing. But then I remember feeling stuck. And I'm like, what, who am I? I'm not the guy with multiple phones, with hundreds of emails, you know, multiple meetings about a meetings and another meeting, right? And travel and hundreds of nights at hotel, because I identified as that person. Mm-hmm. And I remember having a really hard time because I almost had to, it's going to sound a little crazy, but I almost had to mourn the old Carlos, that old identity, in order for me to identify as the new. So now I'm Carlos Martin that happens to be doing executive coaching. I'm Carlos Martin that happens to be a host on your show, right? It doesn't identify who I am. There's bigger things that identify. And once I do that and not necessarily put my worth on how much I make for a living, again, how big my house is, or especially nowadays with social media, depending on if you're putting on LinkedIn, what is the algorithm? What are the likes or how many likes you have? That's going to give you your worth and so forth, especially now with so many young kids that they put worth on how many people, whether you go viral or not. And that's very difficult because what? If you don't have that,
right,
that means you're worth less. And that's very difficult to do and work with.
Right, right. And yeah, how many friends you have on Facebook, how many followers.
Yeah, yeah.
Even with our practices, we're trying to get followers for our social media sites.
Yeah, and it's always good, right? Because we want to improve our business, but then the difference is our identity, our worth tied to that.
Right.
Those are two different things. Yeah.
Okay, okay. And so what changes in the way I lead and live when I stop operating from insecurity and start operating from grounded self-worth?
Well, I like to look at it as a place of lack or a place of abundance. What is that personal narrative going back to that? Are you lacking things, lacking relationship, lacking the money, lack? Or are you living in a place of abundance? And a lot of times you could be making the same amount of money, but it's that mindset that you have, right? So it doesn't really change the outcome. One of my favorite quotes is by Wayne Dyer that said, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. It's having a different perspective on life. And it's just beautiful. And some people say, okay, if I think positive and I like think of $1 million is going to show up. Well, maybe not necessarily right away, but we start to live life in a different way when you shift to abundance, to being positive, especially what's going on in our nation right now. There's so much anger, mm-hmm. right? It's just throw love at it. Life becomes a little bit easier.
It does.
Yeah, it just feels lighter.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of that heaviness, because now we're in a frequency of joy and happiness and abundance. I am enough, going back to what you said, opposed to I don't have enough. Because when you don't have enough, guess what? You're always chasing. Right. But when you have enough, like, oh, I'm good. Now, it doesn't mean that I don't have any goals, but because like I said, going back to the conversation we had at the last segment, there is always that goal and then that gap of not being enough because we're always kind of chasing. But the big thing is we could still be driven without having or feeling like I'm not enough.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that the fear of not being enough has a way of shrinking my voice and my confidence and sometimes even my vision for what life can become. But when I begin to understand that fear instead of hiding from it, then I can open the door to something stronger. And after the break, we'll talk about why slowing down may be one of the most powerful things I can do for the people I care about most. But also, I know you're covering a really important topic, so I think some of our viewers may want to know how they can follow up with you.
Oh, thank you for that. You can follow me on LinkedIn at Carlos Martin at Continuum Leaders on LinkedIn. Or at continuumleaders.com as well for my website. You could kind of read who I am and what I do and my services. We do coaching workshops, leadership alignment, and so forth. But yeah, you could find me there.
Okay.
And then if you do, send me a DM. I'll reach back and we could talk.
Sounds good. Viewers, you heard it here. We'll be back momentarily. And this conversation feels especially important because so much of life moves fast. I'm juggling responsibilities, reacting to pressure, and pushing through the next thing on my list. But meaningful connection really happens at that speed. If I want stronger relationships, clearer decisions, and a more intentional legacy, I have to make space for the conversations that truly matter. I bring the discussion into the pace of modern life and how emotional avoidance often hides inside busyness. I connect this idea to families who postpone hard conversations, to leaders who never slow down enough to listen, and to individuals who know something needs to be said but keep waiting for the right time. So, Carlos, why do so many people struggle to slow down long enough to have honest, meaningful conversations?
I think that's one of the main things with individuals when I come and see my clients is that most people don't take the time. Most people don't get the time to get to know themselves. So one of the most powerful things that we do as coaches is create that space for someone to be seen and someone to be heard. Last month, I got to coach a VP for a large corporation, and we had it on the calendar, and he was at the Delta Lounge. He couldn't see me at home or at the office. I'm like, oh, I'm going to see you, Carlos, in between flights. And when we started to dig in, the reality was that it's not that he didn't make time for me, it's that he didn't make time for himself. And that was kind of his thing. It's like, oh my God, like Carlos, I love these conversations. And I asked him, like, is there a reason why, you know, you may not be doing them more often? He's like, I don't have time. Well, the reality is he wasn't making time. And that is one big thing, is it takes sometimes a coach like myself to tell you, but how weird, you know, for have somebody, an outsider, to tell you what's best for you, that's a bit meta, right? Like, who's going to know me better than me? But the thing is, the reality is that we don't take time to get to know ourselves. Mm-hmm. So when you have a coach, it kind of help us to see who we are. But it's not because I'm telling them. It's because we start to reveal. It's because we're creating that space. It's because now they're slowing down. And it's like, oh my God, we're talking about things that matter to me, opposed to go, 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 right? It's the ROI, going and travel and doing this. I'm not saying those are bad things. But at the same time, it's not this or that. It could be this and that. To go, 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 and then stop. Like, kind of like I was saying earlier in the last segment of go, going, like I love to climb, go, 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 but at the same stop. And you know, the whole term stop and smell the roses. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same thing. You go, 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 and then stop and analyze, like, okay, how am I doing? Am I going in the right direction that I want to go? Am I caring about people? Am I stepping over people, right? So you start to take a little bit of stock of who you are and taking the time.
Okay. And that can be a challenge because you feel like if you stop, yeah, everything's going to fall apart.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is a challenge, right? For example, if we go on vacation because we're feeling burned out, and guess what? We go on vacation, we come back to hundreds of emails that we have to catch up on. But the thing is, the reality is that list is never going to go away. I remember I was married many years ago, and that honey-do list, it just got bigger, and I would cross them. It would just get bigger and bigger. So that's never going to end. The same thing at work. It's never going to end. Right, so what we have to be able to is take control of our lives and say, how do I want to be? Right? Because otherwise, someone is going to be controlling your life and how you want to be. And you could, again, you could still move forward, but just take the time for you, put it on your calendar to slow down and get to know you.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So what gets lost in my relationships when everything stays surface level and rushed?
Well, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I remember going to, again, I was in sales, I was in corporate, and a big part of what I did was doing networking events. And the old version of Carlos was, what can you do for me? What's your name? What do you do for a living? What can you do for me? And that's kind of the world that I lived in. And I'm not saying I'm proud of it, but that was who I was and what I used to do, and that's okay. But now I lead very different. Now I get to go and get to know you. What you do for a living might come out organically and eventually, but that is not, I want to get to know you. You know, so you go from having transactions, right, to having relationships. And that is really the big, big driver for me, is now you're leading. So now you're not surface level. And by doing that, I actually get more business from doing that. But there is not, it's not like, I'm not in it to say what's in it for me. I just do it to get to know you and have relationships and have a human relationship and connection. Maybe eventually something might come out, but that is not, I don't lead with that. Now I lead with heart, with connection. And again, I was talking to an individual. Sometimes it's hard because there are people that just want to stay surface level. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. There's just, those are not my people. Well, if I go there, I'm not going to stay there. I'm not going to be like, well, if you can't have a deep conversation, you're not for me. I'm not going to do that either. But you're not going to be necessarily one of my people personally. But at the same time, many people don't know how to go deep. They don't know. They don't feel comfortable. Again, there's a lot of layers to that question as well.
Okay. And so why is emotional safety so important when I'm trying to talk about vulnerable or life-changing issues?
Vulnerability. So this book behind me is Vulnerability by Brené Brown that teaches, that taught us that vulnerability is the most courageous thing that we can do. I remember, I'll tell you a quick story. As a really good friend of mine, many years ago, we're at this dive bar, and after a couple of drinks, I'm telling him that I had this hardship with the relationship that I was in. And I kid you not, 5 minutes later, he's telling the whole group something that I told him in private. And that really hurt. And so I was vulnerable, and it came back to bite me in the rear. So what happened? The adjustment that I protected myself, I closed myself back up. The time that I opened myself, somebody used that. Now, that's a good and bad example, but at the same time is not many of us are comfortable being vulnerable, and then we are. So how do you find that emotional ally for you? I could tell you a lot of that person is still my friend, but never again did I tell him something vulnerable as I did. So, you know, lesson learned. But as you have your life, as you're going through your journey, who do you have around you, your personal board of advisors, again, your emotional ally that you can talk to and be vulnerable? Because again, it's very courageous to be able to do so, but someone that's going to hold that space and really respect that. And once we have that, we tend to be more vulnerable more often. And that's really beautiful and healing.
Okay. All right. And so how can thoughtful conversation change the way I show up in my family, my work, and in my community?
Well, like I said, it's going to affect everything. I love the community part. I remember when I was a leader, is I led by example. Mm-hmm. That is, for me, one of the a good way to lead is lead by example. So the same thing is, you are going to affect your loved ones, your friends, your community is how you are. So for me, especially in this environment with so much toxic masculinity, when I do these kind of podcasts, these shows rather, when I do podcasts, when I do so many things, is that I try to show a different way of being. I could still be masculine, but I could still show my emotions. I could still talk about emotions. I could still talk about feelings. I could still talk about emotional intelligence and still be very much a man and masculine.
Okay.
Right? It's both and. All right. When we talk about both and.
Right.
But mm-hmm. somehow it's this or that. Either you're a man or you talk about vulnerability because they don't go hand in hand. why is that?
All right.
So right? I could do both. So for me is by being that me being that way, I start to affect my friends, my relationships, and also my community.
All right. All right. This is good stuff. Some of the most important conversations in life do not need to be perfect. They just need the space to happen. I'm getting from this conversation. So when I slow down enough to listen, speak honestly and be present, then I can build trust in the ways that last. So, coming up next, we're going to close with powerful conversation about purpose, healing, and what it means to become the person I once needed myself. To Guided Legacy. As we close today's conversation, I want to spend time on something deeply personal and deeply powerful. The idea that sometimes my greatest purpose is born out of what I once lacked. The support I needed, the guidance I missed, the words I longed to hear. Those experiences can shape not only who I become, but how I serve others. I bring the episode to an emotional and inspiring close by focusing on Carlos's purpose, becoming the coach he did not have. I use this segment to connect pain to purpose, growth to service, and healing to the kind of legacy that reaches beyond achievement to impact. So, Carlos, you've said your why is to be the coach you didn't have. What led you to that realization?
Well, I love your show and I love your questions. I was able to come up with my why after I read the book, What Is Your Why by Simon Sinek. And not because it told me the answer, but because Simon Sinek creates the template to ask the right questions to come up with your answer, my answer rather. And I started thinking that I didn't growing up, I grew up poor, I grew up in Mexico, and I didn't have a mentor, I didn't have a coach, I didn't have a roadmap. And that was really difficult to do, right? And I figured it out. I found quote unquote success, I went up the corporate ladder, but I realized if I had someone like myself, without sounding narcissistic, but if I had a coach that was really challenging me, encourage me to, you know, again, to my narrative, my identity, my philosophy, all the things that we were talking about earlier, I think I would have found quote unquote success a lot quicker. I would have had a higher emotional intelligence a lot younger. I would have been better with my romantic relationships. Like I still remember, like, I got divorced for a reason because I was kind of immature. There were so many things that my life could have changed. So when I love talking to young individuals, and they don't have to do it on their own the way that I did it. So my why is to be the coach that I didn't have, to say, hey, again, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to, you know, want to go far, go together. And what does that togetherness look like? Again, having that coach, emotional ally, all these things – because life could be messy. Yes. You know, to have someone by your side to figure it out together, whether romantic or not, platonic, just having somebody there makes a huge difference. And I hope to be there for many others.
Okay. Okay. So how do the unmet needs in my own life sometimes become the clearest clues to my purpose?
Unmet needs a purpose. Like I said, life is messy. You know, life can be chaotic. My life has not been linear whatsoever. But somehow we want to gain clarity of when things are kind of amok. Going back to another hiking analogy, when I go hiking, you go up, you know, many, many thousands of feet into the mountain. You come across these lakes that are just so pristine and so clear. Mm. Why? Because there's been enough time for all the particles and all that to get clarity, literally a physical clarity that you see in the lake. And that's kind of how I see life. That's kind of how I see your thoughts. We want to gain clarity when there's so many things going on. Well, if we have that water, we're always messing with the water. The water is not going to be clear. And I bring that simple analogies because a lot of times is we overcomplicate things. So by bringing all those things to the surface and by talking about that and create that and things, we start to settle in. For example, I just got off a call yesterday with a new client. He's a CFO. I think I talked 1 minute because there were so many things that he needed to get it off his chest. And that, it feels therapeutic. I'm not a therapist, but it feels therapeutic because a lot of times we just need to let things out. And that's part of how we begin to gain some clarity, but how difficult it is to gain clarity when we have all this mess in our heads.
Okay, so what have you learned about healing through helping other people grow?
My job as a coach is to help others, but the reality is that I'm helping myself too along the way. It's a beautiful dance. It really is. I remember at the beginning of being a coach, I got off a call, that person triggered something inside of me and I started crying. So I had to really process what was going on. So by me talking to different individuals, now it doesn't happen as often now, but by me talking to different individuals, a lot of times it triggers something inside of me. Now as a coach, we want to remain neutral and you are, you know, the main entree, I'm kind of the side dish. You know, but sometimes we get affected, we're human. So by the simple fact that I'm helping others, they begin, well, they don't know it, but they help me. They really help me to become a better person, a better human, a better son, a better friend, a better partner. Why? Because they bring up something that I haven't really thought about, right? Because remember, I help them in their story. It's not my story, but something about my story comes up. And then I take the time to work on my story. So it's a very symbiotic relationship. And again, it's a beautiful dance that I love.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how can I transform pain, self-doubt, or lack into something meaningful that would serve others?
I think it begins, again, with self-awareness. It begins with, you know, healing our wounds. It begins to talking to other people. It begins to taking the time for ourselves, dealing with that pain, whatever pain there might be for you. Again, like we were talking in the past segments, we don't take enough time for us. We don't take enough time for the chaos, the imposter syndrome, the old identity, the story that we're telling ourselves or about ourselves. All that comes together And some of them can be very painful, either through big trauma or just things that we kind of hold on to for years after years. And that could be painful. So the best thing that I could tell folks is dealing with that, talking about it, and that in itself is healing. Then you have the ability, again, to move forward.
Okay. And so one last question I have for you. When I choose to grow with intention, what kind of legacy does that create in the lives of the people around me?
I love this because I try to do everything with intention, my own intention, and I try to improve that. But what I notice that it helps the people around me. The same way, remember the symbiotic relationship where some people help me and then I help them and I help the community. I like to think that I start to create a positive ripple effect. Mm-hmm. And when you throw the stone into the water, I'm going back to the lake, and you see that ripple that goes out. If you threw a small stone, but if you throw a bigger stone, it gets that amplitude, goes out wider. So I try to be that person for my community, for my friends, for my family, in the best way that I know possible. And I try to do that with my clients. So again, it starts with us. Now, we're really good at blaming people. It was you. So pointing fingers. But if we point a finger, every time there's one finger pointed at somebody else, there's three fingers pointing back at me. And so I say that is because it's easy to say it was you that made me feel that way. Instead of like, okay, that could be it. But what story am I telling myself? Or because a lot of times it's a reflection. So taking the time to know thyself, mm-hmm. and to really dig in and take the time, it's going to help the people around us. You know, it's kind of like when you go on the plane, they always tell you, just in case of an emergency, before you put the mask right on your loved one, put it on yourself, right? It's the same thing. So it might sound like, you know, it's about you, but it's like in order for you to take care of your community, other people, we got to take care of ourselves. And again, not in a selfish way, but I think it begins with us.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. This has been a great talk. I think you've offered a lot of valuable information. I know it's just the beginning. So again, how, if our viewers and listeners want to reach you, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, you could email at carlos@continuumleaders.com. You can find me at Carlos Martin, Continuum Leaders on LinkedIn. Send me a DM. I'll be more than happy to talk to you. We could have a discovery call. I'm always available. I might not reach back in within 24 hours, but I part of my why is to be the coach that I didn't have. So it's a lot of work, but I love doing it. And I don't think I've ever done something more fulfilling than what I do now.
Oh, that's so awesome. And so what I've learned is from our talk is what I leave behind is not only found in documents, titles, or accomplishments. It is also found in how I love, how I listen, how I grow, and how I show up for others. So today's conversation is a reminder that legacy begins long before the final chapter. It begins in the way I choose to see myself and the way I choose to live. Carlos, thank you for sharing your heart, your insight, and your purpose with us. And thank you for joining me on Guided Legacy. We enjoyed having you today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. Thank you for your insight, your questions, and really just your presence and your energy. And I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you. I'm Dion Duckett, and I'll see you next time.